No, I am. I'm out. I mean,
Please, yo,
look,
Derek,
I
please
can.
tell Mike where you have Ferkser ranked. You
All
have to now. You have
right,
to.
I gotta hear it. Let
You
me
have
hear
to.
it.
All right, he's. I've got Ferkser in this, and I'll tell you why. I've got him at tight end 6 right now.
Holy balls.
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to run through a PPR mock draft today is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's going on, man?
Another day, man. I'm excited about this mock draft. First one of the year. We did a ton last year when the pod kind of launched, which was seems like forever ago. But first one of the year on the pod, and we have a fantastic guest to do some mock drafting with us.
Dude, it's going to be great, man. Yeah, without further ado, I mean, the man of the hour is going to be mock drafting around us, and we're going to be livid as soon as he snipes some players, man. Mike Wright is in the house. You can follow him on Twitter at FFHitman. What's going on, Mike?
Hello, hello. That was my Bono. I don't know why that happened, but it did.
I mean, you know, that's all stars and everything. I mean, right now, I mean, you guys are, you got a lot of stuff going on over at the Footballers. I know the UDK just dropped. Jason Moore
Indeed.
Is talking to all kinds of celebrities and breaking news on national TV. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, the UDK is live. And yes, Jason, in a matter of like 15 minutes, ended up on McAfee's show for a tweet that was a joke. And we're not sure that they realized it was a joke because they kept talking about it for a very long time. And eventually, Jason just responded, was like, I'm happy to jump on. And then I think by about halfway through Jason being on the show, they're like, oh, it was a joke. I don't know how you missed
playback.
It wasn't a joke.
I know. I was like, he just named off like 25 teams Julio could go to. I was like, this is so good.
It's a joke. And then he went on McAfee and he added more teams. It's so ridiculous.
I was watching it transpire, and I was like, I don't really know if these guys get that. Like, I saw AJ Hawk kind of, like, just staring at him, like, are you for real? And I was like, dude, this is so amazing. Like, you can't even, like, you can't script things up that are that good when things like that have happened in real life.
We were pretty sure that by the end Pat got it, but I'm not sure that AJ realized it by the end yet. But whatever.
Oh, man. It's so, so good, man. So, yeah, we talked about it. The UDK is live, right? Take us through all the parts and pieces of, before we jump into this mock draft, what is all in that thing this year?
Oh, man, what's not in it, my man? no, you know, it comes out once a year. We're always cranking it out. You have the massive crunch mode in May, but it is our draft kit. If you play redraft and dynasty now, we've got a dynasty pass available, but if you're in redraft, man, and you don't want to old bust a magazine that's already outdated and out of print, and you want help doing your draft, ultimatedraftkit.com. We update it all off season. If you broke down the cost of the product versus how many times it's updated, you're paying pennies an update.
I mean, it's great content, Mike. I mean, a lot of friends of the podcast over there working with y'all with the Ballers, from Betts and Borg and Casey Kasem. I mean, so many good people on the staff, man. But without further ado, let's hop into this mock draft. Adam,
let's
take us through this. What, scoring settings, all that kind of good stuff. What are we going through here?
Yeah, so we got 12 teams, 3 wide receivers, full PPR, and other than that, I mean, first mock draft of the year, we're not going to go too crazy with super flex or anything like that, but real quick, I'm picking at the 103, Mike's sitting at the 106, and D-Bro's at the 110, so it's interesting, too, because there is a player that is very hyped in the fantasy community right now that I know both of you are very high on. So it'll be interesting to see which one of you get him. So I'm going to start this draft off. I will be picking first of us three, and assuming nothing gets too crazy, we'll see who goes 102 and 101. But let's kick this off, man. Mike, how many mock drafts have you done so far?
Just a handful, I would say. I'm not saturated yet.
Yeah, this is our first on the pod. I actually have another one for a magazine kind of league after this, so I will be getting pretty much a day's full of mock drafts. People ask all the time, too, like, what's your favorite position to pick in drafts? And, like, I don't know. I really don't. And McCaffrey goes to 101, not too surprising, but, like, and then Dalvin Cook. So I'm on the board. Might surprise some people here. Anybody that listens to the podcast will not be surprised. I'm going Zeke. I have Zeke as my running back three. I'm all in, man. He was the RB2 before Dak went down last year. He was running a ton of passing routes. I'm not worried about Tony Pollard stealing carries. The offensive line's going to be better, and this is going to be one of the fastest-paced offenses in the league and one of the best offenses in the league. So I kind of – we Mike, D-Bro, and myself selected our spots before we opened it up to everybody else. So I picked 103 purposely knowing I would get Zeke and it would be a little bit surprising. But that's where I'm at. That's where I am on Zeke. Mike, what do you think? Actually, you're on the clock real quick, so I'll let you – I'll talk about it after that.
So for my pick here, I could bust the ADP as well because I am madly infatuated with Nicholas Chubb this year. I think that just the workload that he got once he finally came back and Hunt really did fade into the background. And combined with, I believe the Cleveland Browns are going to be an incredible team. And it's just going to – their success will feed into Nick Chubb's getting the ball even more. I mean, they were up 10-plus – what, they win 11 games? But they got third, so they're going to play a third place schedule, except they were a double digit win team. So there's a lot of things in there. Anyways, I did a lot of talking to select Travis Kelce at the 106.
Ooh, I like
that. Such a curveball. He just hyped up Nick Chubb and not only didn't take Nick Chubb, didn't even take a running back. He goes Travis Kelce. I love it.
I'm trying it out. We'll see how it goes.
And that's the other thing, Mike. Like, in these mock drafts, you have to go with different, you know, go with the zero RB, go with a tight end early, go with heavy receivers, go with heavy running backs, because that's the best way to do it. And Kelce at the 106, like, I don't think it's egregious by any means. He's so much better than every other tight end, and we know the drop off at the position. So McCaffrey, Cook, I took Zeke at the 103, Kamara at the 104, Barkley fifth, Mike takes Kelce at the 106, followed by Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, and Devontae Adams. D-Bro, you're on the clock.
I mean, I'm surprised that he's still on the clock. I'm surprised that Tyreek and Devontae, considering all the, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. I don't hate that, but I'm extremely happy to get Jonathan Taylor here at the 110. I'll take that all day. I'm not worried about Nyheim Hines. Over the back half of the year, we know Taylor ran more routes than Nyheim Hines. I think his ceiling... Mike's talking about loving Nick Chubb. I think Jonathan Taylor is Nick Chubb, but he's going to get catch a few more passes. So, fully in on him, willing to take him as high as the 105, 106 in most drafts right now. Mike, what are your thoughts on Jonathan Taylor before this swings back around to me on the turn?
Taylor is tough because I think he's absolutely incredible. The receiving will go down because you don't have Phillip Rivers, the king of the check down anymore. But Wentz should certainly give him more than enough targets for him to really be a three down back. The biggest question for him is, are we blinded by the end of the season? Unlike what, you know, like I'm sure you guys have talked about David Montgomery a lot, about how he turned into a league-winning running back because his schedule was so incredibly soft. Now, he did it. He accomplished what he needed to accomplish, but the schedule was lined up. When Jonathan Taylor finally started ripping things off, his schedule was super soft.
D-Bro's about to cry, by the way. Absolutely, just cry.
I'm over here putting out the devil's advocate, just trying to play the other side.
He's about to cry because of the player that just went off the board right before him.
What, Gibson?
Yeah.
Yes, I wanted Antonio Gibson so bad in the second round. Oh, that's lovely, getting sniped. But you know what? I'll be perfectly fine considering I can just go ahead and take my man child. I'm going to go ahead and take Cam Akers here. So to start a Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers, I'll take it. Take it all day. Around the turn, Nick Chubb goes the 111, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, and then I got sniped on Antonio Gibson. If he'd have been on the board, I still would have considered him. But again, in a lot of early drafts, I mean, I'm a little bit surprised here. I mean, Adam, your thoughts? Because right now we are sitting at the 206. I'm a little bit surprised considering I know we've been in the streets doing a lot of best balls. We've got four receivers off the board right now. Are you, any surprise for you there? Because it does surprise me a little bit just considering that we are this early in the draft and we've got that many of have already come off the board.
Yeah, I mean, Davante Adams, it's like it's tough because if this was like a real draft, there would be more concern maybe about taking him up to 109. But with the receivers that are off the board, I think they all have the chance to be the wide receiver one. So I have no problem with it. Mike, though, on the clock, took Kelce at the 106. Now he's at the 207. Who are you looking at, Mike?
So it worked out. I was figuring I'm conceding on getting an RB1 on the way back. Was kind of hoping Austin Eckler would drop down to me, but I'm going to take a player that look, Joe Mixon is a very polarizing figure in fantasy football, but I don't know how you deny him a full three-down role this year and actually finally get him those targets with Giovanni Bernard out. I mean, well, we got Samaje Perine. He's the backup. I mean, he's not. I'm fine with Perine. That wasn't a slight against him. It was just to say.
What about Captain America?
Chris Evans. I'm not worried about it.
Travion Williams doesn't scare you at all? No, I mean, I don't hate that. And especially right now, I mean, to be able to get the number one overall player at the tight end position and come back around and get somebody who I still think he's going to be, I mean, even at his floor, the volume he's going to get on the early downs, he's going to be a top 12, top 15 back this year.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as he stays healthy, that's going to happen. So DeAndre Hopkins goes off the board, then DK Metcalf. Adam, you are up on the clock. Where are you looking?
Yeah, I'm sure you guys can hear. I love having people cutting grass while recording a podcast. But I'm thrilled to get this player. Yeah, it's the times we live in when everybody's working from home still. So got to deal with it. But I am thrilled to get this player here at the 210. I was worried he was going to come off the board with one of the two picks in front of me. I mean, it's inevitable. He's going to be traded. And regardless if he gets traded or not, Calvin Ridley's a star, but he could be an absolute mega star this season. So taking him as a wide receiver one, I'm thrilled.
Mike, your thoughts on Ridley? I mean, I love him. Man. Been a Ridley stan ever since he hit the league, man. What do you think his ceiling is? Could he be the wide receiver one overall this year? Is that possible?
Yeah, the ceiling is the 101. I mean, you can't say that for a ton of guys, even though we often will be very, very surprised. But Calvin Ridley has the 101 or the wide receiver one ceiling with because Julio's gone. Would not technically yet, but he's going to be gone. And what Calvin Ridley was averaging, 100 plus yards per game. I mean,
and the good thing is you'll know the Julio trade before it happens because Jason will break it. So that'll be
we got an NFL insider action. We just got to make sure we get the text and the tweets beforehand.
That's the best part is that list was so huge. And if he goes to someone on that list, which he probably will, Jason will be retweeting that with "I told you so," and it's going to be so fabulous. Good, man.
It's going to be so good. CEH goes off the board at the 211. Adam, your thoughts, man? I know we've talked a lot about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think that if he makes it to the end of the second, and he's getting there, he's dropping to the third round because people are so out on him after what they consider to be a terrible rookie season.
Would
you happily take him? I think it's crazy. I think the guy legit has top three, top five.
I would have loved to take him if he was there on my swing pick. We've talked about it. Like, there were concerns about Clyde last year because he wasn't the goal line back after that first game of the season, and they got really cute down in the red zone. But he didn't have an offseason that rookies are supposed to have, where it's preseason games. And that's why I think there was some – that's why he didn't catch as many passes. I think there was not a lot of – as much confidence as there should have been with him in two-minute drills and pass protection, which is why Darrell Williams is playing a lot in two-minute drills. Give him a full offseason. Give him three preseason games. And, yeah, if he starts scoring touchdowns, he could be a top-five running back easily. I'm on the clock, and everybody that just went, I wanted. So I'm kind of tilting right now. All four of those players, Michael Thomas, Justin Jefferson, Clyde, and Keenan Allen, were like the four players on my board that I really wanted. I could go running back, but I am not. I wasn't interested in DeAndre Swift. I'm definitely not now with everything that's going on in Detroit with them trying to bring in running backs. I might get weird here.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you going, actually, Adam? I'm going to go Darren Waller.
Ooh, yeah, that's a great pick.
I'm going to go Darren Waller. It would have been one of those receivers or Clyde if they were there, but this is a three receiver league, so I could have easily just went receiver. But Darren Waller in the third round, Darren Waller is essentially a receiver anyway with the targets he gets. I know you have to start three receivers in this format, but he's going to see a 26 to 28, maybe 30% target share again. And I just don't feel great about Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs. There goes Swift, who I said I already don't feel great about. Julio would have been a no-brainer there for me if there wasn't this cloud around him with who he's going to play for and everything. I almost went Terry McLaurin there, but give me Darren Waller at the tight end position. That's just I think he's above George Kittle, and the sleeper ADP suggests otherwise. But I almost went Kittle because I assumed Waller was gone. Luckily, I scrolled down, and I took Darren Waller at the 303.
I like the fact that this draft room has put some respect on Michael Thomas's name, and he goes in the second round where he should be going. Mike, your thoughts on Waller and Michael Thomas for this season? Because Adam and I have profused the love for Michael Thomas. He's slipping into the third round in a lot of different drafts. You're doing best balls right now. And again, I think that's absolute insanity.
I am totally with you guys on what's going on with Michael Thomas. What we know about Michael Thomas is he was very hurt. And he came back and he was still hurt. They had to shut him down. Like, he came back for what, four or five games or something, and then they had to shut him down. The whole reason he forced his way back on the field was for his buddy Drew Brees, who he knew was going to be retiring. And you saw enough, even with Taysom Hill, that he had at least a game over 100 yards. I'm trying to think if he had two, but he was serviceable. He didn't score a touchdown. Fine, whatever, the touchdowns will come. But I'm with you guys that I don't understand why the blowback of Michael Thomas for an injured year. Just, I get it. He has a new quarterback coming in, but look, Jameis has supported fantasy value. Taysom Hill had in the games that he was playing with Michael Thomas, it was an insane target share going to Michael Thomas. Even if the overall passing pie is smaller, he knew where to throw the ball, and it was throw it to Michael Thomas. So I think it's wild that a guy who, you know, just a year ago was the number one overall dynasty wide receiver, and now people don't even want him in a redraft league. It's very bizarre.
That's bonkers, man. And right now, I have Darren Waller above George Kittle, so I love Adam's pick. Like, I think that there's actually a tier break there. People can put George Kittle at two. That's fine, but I just have concerns about San Francisco. If they're able to run the ball, I don't think the passing volume's there. Mike, where do you stand? Are you tight end too? Is it Waller or Kittle for you?
If you're in a PPR, I would definitely go with Waller. If it's half or under, you can make the argument for Kittle. I think you do. Like, I don't think he's injury prone, but at this point, you have to at least factor in injuries for George Kittle now, because you've got multiple years where he keeps hyperextending his knee. I mean, one of these times it's not going to end as well as it has in the past. And people like to, they're trying to pump up the sleeper value of Henry Ruggs. Maybe it happens. I don't know. I'm trying to over here to pump up the sleeper value of Bryan Edwards. But like, what are the probabilities?
You're speaking to my heart.
let's have a heart to heart though. What are the odds that Bryan Edwards actually makes an impact in the NFL now? It's very low. I mean, I get he was hurt, but anyway, my point is, Darren Waller, who he is surrounded by, is not who George Kittle is surrounded by, which is just really high draft capital or high draft capital players. You know, I mean, you have a first and I think Debo was a second rounder, right? If I'm remembering that right. But like, there's talent everywhere on the 49ers, and there's not really on the Raiders. So Darren Waller gets that PPR bump.
Yeah, nobody's going to sit here and challenge Waller for just
I'm on the clock.
All the targets. Fellas, yeah.
You got me monologuing.
I had you filibustering.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal, like, because I can just go back and give you, you know, put you back on the clock. But you are on the clock.
There's Bush League tactics going on in this.
So while Mike is deciding who he's going to, since I had him talking about Bryan Edwards and sorts, while he's deciding who he's going to pick, so the picks after, so Adam went with Darren Waller. We saw Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Allen Robinson. Mike went with in the third round. George Kittle, Miles Sanders, Julio goes in the third. I went Amari Cooper as my wide receiver one on this team, which Dallas, again, Adam and I have talked about it. Top, they're going to be near the top of the league in scoring and pace. Terry McLaurin, Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, Mike Evans make it around the turn. And I can't win with a guy in the fourth round that I love. I love the Rams offense. Adam and I have talked about it on our NFC West preview. Give me Cooper Kupp. I think that his touchdown equity in this offense, the pace is coming back. Love getting him there. And I know that's a little bit higher, but I'm not a big fan of playing the ADP game. Like, if I could have waited, he wasn't going to come back around to me in the fifth. Chris Carson, Chris Godwin go off the board. So does Robert Woods. And, Mike, you went with Kenny Golladay. Tell me what you think about him and the Giants offense for this year.
So, I have two archetype wide receivers here that are very similar. Don't know if I love it, because I think that Kenny Golladay, the argument against Kenny Golladay has been low volume, but he's on a completely different team now. Just because that's who he was on the Lions, that's not proof that that's how the New York Giants are going to use him. The New York Giants, who just gave him five dump trucks full of gold to come over there and be Daniel Jones' number one weapon. Like, his, I project that Kenny Golladay is going to see a massive target increase, and I don't care if Daniel Jones is good or bad. That's not, I don't have to make that argument because, you turd. Boo.
Listen, you can blame the two picks before me because I wanted CeeDee Lamb and DJ Moore. So, and it's so weird because on the sleeper ADP, Deontay and CeeDee Lamb, you had to scroll all the way down. I didn't even realize they were on the clock still.
Yeah, I just found him there. It was like, oh, there's my next pick.
That was an easy pick for me because he was the next guy I wanted after Lamb and Moore. But Deontay, man, people are like, I think everybody's high on Claypool and everybody's like, okay, Deontay is just kind of meh. But like, I don't think people truly realize on a per route basis how often this guy gets targeted. It's insane.
His games with Big Ben, where he played the game and Big Ben played the game full. I'm not talking about the benching. There was only one game where he didn't see 10 plus targets. Like, Deontay Johnson is insane because early on last offseason, he was the hot sleeper in the industry. Like, I don't know if there was anyone who was not on Deontay Johnson.
His ADP
as a
went from like seventh round to like fifth, fourth. Like, he was skyrocket. It was insane.
And then somehow in the middle of the summer, it cooled off, and it was no longer like the cool thing to like Deontay Johnson. And then he breaks out. He has like a little bit of a drop problem. Whatever, man. But he broke out. He did what everybody thought he was going to do, and now people are like, meh, I'm no longer interested in Deontay Johnson and his targets. It's like, what? It's insane to me. Let's say Big Ben is awful again. Did you think Big Ben was awful last year? Okay. Deontay Johnson was great.
I mean, really, how much worse? So we're not talking about this. I mean, even Ben at his floor is still better than a lot of other quarterbacks in the league. He's league average. He could still throw the ball to Deontay Johnson in a PPR league.
Yeah, apparently I have all the faith in the world.
You're stacking.
I have all the faith in the world apparently because I go Juju with.
Wow, you went Juju,
dude. If there's an offense to grab two receivers from, it's this one. I'm not convinced that Najee Harris coming in is going to make this team the Steelers of old, and they're going to throw the ball only 500 times. They almost threw the ball 700 times last game or last game. My goodness, last year. Mahomes goes right after me. I was considering it, but like that's what happens when you get in drafts with people from the industry or people from Twitter, fantasy football Twitter. You do a mock draft and nobody wants to be that guy that takes the quarterback first. It's funny. So Mahomes at 505 is actually kind of insane, but the position's too deep. But yeah, I did go Juju and Deontay just because I know the pass volume is going to be there, and it's a full PPR and start three receivers. And the receivers that were there, I have Juju ahead of those guys. So I was debating Travis Etienne, but something about that situation. Yeah, something about that situation scares me. But it's a good pick at 506 in a full PPR. We know the ceiling's there. Urban Meyer, though, is he going to get people to storm his office? Like, is that going to happen?
Maybe, but if there is a player who, after, I don't know, maybe zero games, but maybe it's a handful of games, but has the ability to turn into, like, to play into a three-down running back instead of I have to, you know, sit on these guys and maybe someone in front of them gets hurt and there's an opportunity. Etienne's one of a few guys who can actually play his way into that three-down role. In the fifth round, man, I'll take that chance.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I really was dangerously close to selecting him.
Instead, you went in all in on the Steelers.
Yeah, which Roethlisberger.
You doubled down your bets on Big Ben, who we were just profusing our love for.
Yeah, right. I clearly have more confidence. No, I just, again, it's the offense. Like, if this was, you know, there's only a certain amount of offenses you can safely, and a lot of people ask that question, like, how comfortable are you drafting two receivers from the same team? Depends on the team. Dallas, yeah, absolutely. Pittsburgh, not because of efficiency, but based off volume, yeah, sure. So we'll see what happens. I haven't taken a running back since Zeke at 103. So, Debro, on the clock, though, at 1 or 510.
Modified. It's very high, very high T, Adam.
I try.
I've got a lot of different ways I could go with this pick. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to go with my guy. You're talking about all the Pittsburgh Steelers love. Give me Claypool, yep. Man. I'm just going to go with it. I think that his athletic ceiling, he is the guy in that wide receiver room that's different than everybody else. I get, and we talked about the Deontay love. This is not me slandering Deontay. I will slander Juju, though, because I think Najee is coming for those targets, man. Najee is coming for those targets. It's going to happen across the middle of the field. Claypool is just a different animal. Like, that guy, if you look at his stats, like, side by side to DK Metcalf's rookie season, lot of parallels and athletic similarities there.
Yes, there are.
I will not be surprised if he breaks out in a massive way this year. So I'll take the shot here as my third wide receiver in this league. Let's go, guys. TJ Hockenson goes off the board. Cortland Sutton at the turn. And then we'll see who makes it back there. Miles Gaskin goes. Mike, Adam and I have talked about the Denver Broncos passing offense. I'm low on it, man. I don't see, like, I think people's idea of what Cortland Sutton did in 2019 is a little bit shinier than what his actual production was. What are your thoughts for Denver while I stew about who I'm going to pick here?
I had just highlighted Sutton. I kind of thought he might be the player who makes it back to me for my third wide receiver position, which I would be very happy with that because then I'm at least insulated from him. Things not working out like he's my two or my one, but we don't know what you at least know about Cortland Sutton is he's a phenom on the field. Like, he is a difference making wide receiver to me more so than Jerry Jeudy. And I think that Sutton is back to being the number one. I think he's going to be healthy. He'll be the main guy. Now, but with Drew Luck and Teddy Bridgewater, that is a quarterback battle that I actually care about. Neither of our great options, but those few very small sample, but those few games we saw with Drew Luck and Cortland Sutton, it wasn't great. Now hopefully Luck can figure out that he should throw the ball more to Sutton. But for the most part, I am in on the return of Sutton. The injury was so early; I think he'll be back to form physically. And if you want to go contract year narrative, you can look at that. But I think that I will bet on the talent of Cortland Sutton. That was a really long way to say I would bet on the talent.
And you're on the clock. So
ramping them up.
A little bit of quarterback run here in the sixth round. Dak Prescott goes at the 604. Kyler at the 605. So, Mike, you wanted Sutton.
Oh,
does that mean you're going receiver? Do you take a quarterback with the quarterback run? What are you looking at here?
With the quarterback run. I mean, I already have a onesie position, so whatever. Screw it. Mm-hmm. Let's break all the rules today, fellas. I don't know what people are doing.
That's what I was looking at. So we're even now. We're even.
I do not know what has happened. I understand the beginning of the season was rough, but they found their way. And Lamar Jackson won me. I traded for Lamar right before the resurgence, and he won me the league. Like, he was a big part of it. So I don't know. I think people are forgetting what he can actually do.
They really are, and I think that some of their offseason moves, that everybody talks about the pass catchers for good reason. I mean, that
makes sense. Duvernay, baby.
But, I mean, look, Baltimore also added to this offensive line. Like, he was under pressure a ton last year. So bringing in Zeitler, addressing it with Ben Cleveland in the draft as well, I think their offensive line is going to be better. So Lamar still got QB1 overall upside.
Quarterback run, man.
It is. It happened, man.
I wanted one of those four players, so like I think Herbert, like we talked about it a lot. This, Mike, I'm sure you've said the same thing to your audience on the Footballers Podcast every year since you guys have done it. Wait on quarterback, it's loaded. And it's still loaded this year. The problem is the top six guys or so, they all give you something on the ground. And then after
there's one
that
more.
Then after that, yeah, there is one more. I'm going to pass on quarterback, though.
If you want to dance with the devil.
I'm going to pass on quarterback, though. I'm going to go with, he probably won't be mad. I don't think he's going to get to him, but Debro's high on this play. We were talking about him pre-podcast, and that's Javonte Williams, who I think could be the
only
one.
Oh, you did it. I considered him. I thought about going him
He's my RB2, so there's some risk, but you know, Melvin Gordon, obviously, if this is Dynasty, he'd be off the board and everything like that. But still in redraft, look, they wanted to use a committee last year. When Philip Lindsay was active, Melvin Gordon averaged just over 12 carries per game. That number jumped up to over 18 per game when Lindsay was inactive. So seeing that they want to use a multiple running back set and then trading up for Javonte Williams, who played in a two-back set in North Carolina, it makes sense. And I think he's going to get flex-worthy workload right away. And then if obviously Gordon misses time or just is inefficient and they move on with Williams, a pure talent. Plus Denver's defense is going to be very good this year. They were good last year, missing players, and their secondary was depleted. Both their pass rushers were missing time. This year, I mean, they're loaded. I mean, their pass rush is still great. They added, obviously, players in the secondary with Kendall Fuller or with Kyle Fuller. Like, they're going to be a good defense, and that's going to be great situations for Javonte Williams. Are you guys looking at the 101 draft right now? It is very blue, and if anybody's not familiar with Sleeper, the blue is the receivers, and there have been six straight receivers after MLGC takes Christian McCaffrey at the 101. I'm on the clock, though. I'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, when you got Christian McCaffrey, you don't really need to worry about your running back two spot.
It's very true.
I'm
stuck with this pick, but I'm gonna go quarterback. I'm gonna go Russ.
Oh, that's not who I was talking about. But Russell Wilson, oh, man, just get ready. It's going to be a great half a season.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice MVP-type season. We did our NFC podcast yesterday, Mike, talking about the NFC West. We talked Russell Wilson, the first half of the season, Seattle and Buffalo were like the league leaders in first down passing rate. Like, they were legitimately letting him cook, and then they decided they didn't want to win football games anymore.
Because he stopped cooking, like he started spilling. He wasn't putting the ingredients in very well.
I'm not thrilled with that pick.
Mad.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with that pick. I think his lack of passing volume keeps him from the upside of guys like Lamar and Kyler and Dak and Josh Allen and even Justin Herbert, who I think has, you know, a similar ceiling and went before him, but at the 703, I already have my three receivers locked in. I already have my tight end and Darren Waller, and I didn't love the running back. So I'll take Wilson because I love Burrow, but there are some question marks with him. And at least Russ gives you some mobility, whereas guys like Tom Brady don't. Trevor Lawrence will kind of I didn't even see Hurts down there. I still have Wilson ahead of Hurts, and I'm sure that's
what
I'm talking about. This ADP is tricking me, man. I didn't even see him down there. You're on
ADP,
the clock,
man.
You're on the clock at 706, Mike.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to allow the ADP to dictate who I'm taking here because there's other guys I want that are lower, but this player is not making it back. I'm kind of surprised he made it through the gauntlet there. I'm going to take a rookie. I'm taking Devontae Smith from Philadelphia.
Love that. Love that pick. Adam and I were talking about it when we did our NFC East. He could rival Chase. Hell, he could outproduce him this year as the best rookie wide receiver.
It's Mike, very possible.
I mean, are you in on that? Do you think he could be the best guy this year for rookies?
I do. I'm not projecting it that way, but I mean, like, part of fantasy football is looking in the mirror and accepting there's people's opinion. I respect that think this. I think the other way, but I gotta leave a little margin for error that could be correct. And I do think that Jalen Reagor was incredibly disappointing, hurt, but incredibly disappointing. And if Devontae Smith is the number one target immediately week one, that will not be mind blowing at all. And we know that he has the talent to be an impact wide receiver, one type of a player very, very quickly. So in the seventh round, I'll take that chance.
It's time to dance with the devil. We just talked about Devonta Smith.
This is such an obvious pick.
Let's go.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to take him, Adam, and I was like, don't you dare.
Well,
I'm sitting
thing.
Here pointing
here's
at you
thing.
On stream right now.
D-Bro takes Jalen Hurts at the 7-10. I took Wilson at the 7-03. Right now at this moment, I still have Wilson one spot ahead of him. But I also just legitimately didn't see Jalen Hurts down there in the ADP. So I will tend to just say and blame the ADP. That's my excuse. But yeah, Jalen Hurts, I didn't realize he didn't have a quarterback yet. I mean, we know the upside. I don't think he has much. I don't think he has like quarterback one overall upside as a lot of people think. But top five without question. I mean, he was on pace. There's how many players can I know they have an extra game this year, but like can legitimately have 4,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards? Two, three.
Yep,
he's one of them. Kyler, Lamar.
Yeah,
may. Yeah,
maybe
I mean that's
Hurts?
That's what I was gonna say. Aside from Hurts, because like Allen's not hitting 1,000.
No, he
Dak yeah. is not hitting 1,000,
especially after the injury. By the way, at D-Bro's on the clock at 8:03. This is the most obvious pick in the history of fantasy football podcasts. Just do it already. Just do it.
You know where I'm going. We had the news come out today that he's already hurt. He's already dealing with something. It's Trey Sermon time, baby.
Yeah,
Trey Sermon. Had to. I mean, this is basically just a long laundry list of players that I love for this team. So
you want to play this league out, I'm imagining.
Yeah, we could definitely just rock this.
Your team would be totally fine for me.
I'm very happy with this.
Let's recap that eighth round, though. So I went Russell Wilson at the 7-03. David Johnson, 7-04. That's like the most boring pick ever.
Surprising.
Legitimately ever. We'll talk about that, what just happened later. Robbie Anderson, Devonta Smith goes to Mike at the 7:06. Brandon Cooks could be a massive value if Deshaun Watson plays or if Deshaun Watson doesn't play, because he's still going to get like a 30% target share. I'm not saying
30% of what? Tyrod? 30% of Tyrod's about 52 targets.
It's fair. Goddard, James Robinson, Hurts, Brady, and Fuller. Mike's now on the clock at the 8:07 as Marvin Jones goes at the 8:06. And best pick of the draft right there. Well done, Johnny.
Yeah, I think Adam's going to just sit on the sideline. He's logging out of this draft. I think that the hurt is too real. Where are you going, Mike?
Oh, man. There's a handful of RBs I really like, but I do need to start padding my – no, I mean, I need to start padding my wide receivers here. I got to get – oh, I'm running out of time. All right. All right. We're going for it. I'm taking Curtis Samuel out of Washington, their big free agent acquisition. Nice. I am going to trust in the coaching staff to have watched what happened last year and go, oh, maybe we should use Curtis Samuel like that. And not necessarily the way that they had used him previously. And I'm also trusting in Ryan Fitzpatrick. If we can get the that New York Jets version of Fitzpatrick where he only targets two wide receivers, then Curtis Samuel will be a value.
I mean, in beard magic we trust, man. I think Fitzpatrick is going to be really good. That offense is going to be sneaky good. Good pace. They're going to run a lot of play action. I think Scott Turner is actually an underrated offensive coordinator in this league. I don't think people give him enough due for how good he is. So James Conner goes right after you. I mean, Adam, how are you feeling about your team overall right now? You got Zeke, you got Calvin Ridley, Darren Waller, Deontay, Juju, Javonte, and Russ. Tell me the feels, man. You loving it or not?
It's different. I don't hate it, though. It's definitely different. And that end of that or the beginning, or the beginning of the third round, towards the end of the second round, really impacted the way I went, because the top four players on my board were Thomas, Clyde, Jefferson, and Keenan Allen, and sure enough, they go in that order before me. So that's why I took Waller. Then my draft strategy kind of changed from there, and that's why going into a draft with a draft strategy is pretty pointless sometimes, because it's going to change. Now I'm stuck though. And I keep thinking I'm clicking on something wrong, but apparently Robert Tonyan is wide receiver eligible on
season. He is.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So weird.
It doesn't really help, but he is.
There's some running backs here that I like but don't love. Like, you have Leonard Fournette. I could go Melvin Gordon, just kind of lock up that backfield. And I'll tell you what, at 8-10, it's not the worst
idea. I thought
about
Melvin.
I'm going to take him. I have Javonte, so I have that backfield, you know, wrapped up. I think they'll be running the ball more this year. D-Bro, you mentioned before we got on the pod that they were trailing in games and playing in snaps when they were behind as much as anybody in the league almost. And, you know, if that defense changes, like, and becomes even better, which I think they will be a top five unit. And, you know, if one of these guys misses time, I have a, you know, 18 to 20 touch running back. So I think it's at 8-10. It's not an exciting pick, but running backs at this point of the draft, there's not many exciting picks available. So I'm good with Melvin Gordon at the 8-10.
I thought about it, but I have principles, so I didn't draft him.
Michael Carter, the 901. Right after you. Oh man, I had Michael Carter.
I thought about
queued
that
too.
Michael Carter was not making it past 9-6. Just so you
here
know.
We go. Love it. What do you foresee for that backfield this year, Mike? Before you're on the clock here, are you willing to sit here and, like, is Michael Carter like 8th, 9th round? Is he just a money pick at that point?
Yeah, at that point, the concern is by August he's 6th, 5th. Like, he's gonna he's gonna make that slide up, which I guess that's not the worst, still not the worst value, but draft Twitter loved Michael Carter, which far more than I did, and so I think we just need to recall, like, he was a 4th round pick. He's gonna be on a really bad team, like a rebuilding team. So how good will that offense actually be? I do not know. But he has the talent to be, like, he has a 3-down skill set. I don't know if they're going to use him that way or not, but he at least has that in his repertoire. And at least from camp, the reports at the beginning of freaking June are already Michael Carter's running with ones. He's going to have to beat out Tevin Coleman. That's it. And then Michael Carter is getting a high volume of touches. So in the 8th or the 9th, absolutely, I would take that bet.
Yeah, I love him at that spot in the draft. So you're on the clock, Mike. Where are you headed for in the 9th round right now, 9:06?
So like Carter was going to be in possible. Melvin Gordon, if he somehow fell again, I just didn't really want to. I didn't really want to draft him there at 8.
You're welcome.
but we're in backup. Running backville, and I'm going to take someone who might just be in a 1A, 1B. Well, I don't know if you even know. Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. Speak to me about the quads.
I was
Talk
thinking
to me
about
AJ Dillon.
AJ Dillon.
So I was going to say it might just be more 1A, 1B than we really think up there in Green Bay. And there's a lot of variables right now of, is it really Jordan Love? Is it Aaron Rodgers? If it's really Jordan Love, you're going to see the Green Bay Packers morph pretty quickly into a run-first team. And Aaron Jones is great. He's better than A.J. Dillon, but he's not going to be able to, like, you can't give Aaron Jones that amount of carries. Like, you cannot wear him out. And meanwhile, you have, like, the largest man in the earth, A.J. Dillon, out there just ready to stomp over people. He's going to be involved far more than you think. Like, you got to leaving, like I was talking about, leaving margin for error. There is a non-zero chance that all of a sudden A.J. Dillon is now the goal line running back. Like, that's in the range of outcomes of things that could happen. So in the 9th round, and then, of course, if Aaron Jones, who's not been a picture of health himself, and because he plays running backs just get hurt, those weeks that Aaron Jones is out, A.J. Dillon is going to be an absolute slam dunk.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that could be really interesting in Green Bay, like, if Rodgers is going bye-bye, then Jordan Love being under center, this team could go extremely run heavy. So you're looking at a back with AJ Dillon. Like, there's a lot of backs in that range where I think, like, it won't be insane if he comes out the gate with like 10 to 12 touches per week, and then like we're seeing maybe 15 touch upside. And if he gets the goal line work, then whew, oh baby, like that's awesome. So after Mike goes with AJ Dillon, Antonio Brown, Marquise Brown, Robert Tonyan go off the board. I went with Mike Williams. I think that the Chargers offense is going to be really good this year. We've seen Mike Williams basically he's had the opposite of two seasons. Went over 1,000 yards, only 2 touchdowns 1 year. Went over 10 touchdowns in another season. He could put it all together this year in this condensed Chargers passing attack. At this point in the draft, there's really no running backs. I got 3 running backs on my squad right now with Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, and Trey Sermon. I don't feel the need. And starting 3 wide receivers, I'm just going to kind of pad the room. I'm going to take one of my – again, this is basically just me just talking about guys that I love. Give me the upside of Terrace Marshall. I'll take him at this point in the draft.
Love the fit. And by the way, right after your Mike Williams selection is one of my favorite selections of the draft, Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards might be my favorite player in fantasy this year. I'm trying to get him on every team.
Tell me why, Adam. Because I mean, I get it. But what's the upside?
I don't like him more than McCaffrey. I'm just saying. I just think I think it's going to be a 1A, 1B in Baltimore. Gus Edwards has been one of the most efficient running backs in football since entering the league. He's top 10 in both yards per carry and yards after contact. He's going to be top 10 in yards before contact playing in this offense in Baltimore in the running scheme. And like Dobbins got more work down the stretch last year, but they love Gus Edwards. They talked about it, whether they gave him a contract extension or tendered him. Like, he was going to be back this year. And damn, there goes Tony Pollard. I wanted to pair him with Zeke. But I just think in this rushing offense, he's going to get flex-worthy touches right away. And if Dobbins misses time, there's no Mark Ingram there anymore, so it's going to be just those two. I think he's a good player, and the Baltimore running scheme is unstoppable. These guys are going to average 4.5-plus yards per carry. And who knows? Gus Edwards might be the goal line back. I know Lamar Jackson's going to take touchdowns away. But if you look at Lamar Jackson, he doesn't run inside the 5 as much as you think, like at all. So I love Gus Edwards. Where he's going, like, I think he has running back 2 upside, and he's being drafted as a handcuff. I don't think Gus Edwards is a handcuff. I think he's like a high upside flex that can really pay off. So yeah, love Gus Edwards. Mad Tony Pollard went at the 10.06, and then Mike at the 10.07. Who are you taking? Oh, I see you took somebody.
Yeah, so I mean, you're looking at garbage wide receivers at this point. But so I'm trying to craft my narrative of how can this player make the jump? Can they unseat can they be the new wide receiver 1 of their team? So I grabbed Michael Pittman from the Indianapolis Colts. He's got a new quarterback who I wouldn't trust to watch my children. I'm not in on Carson Wentz, but he still will have to throw the ball a whole bunch. And I'll tell you, I am out on T.Y. Hilton, unfortunately. We've now seen 2 straight years of T.Y. Hilton averaging 50 yards a game. It was really fun when he was beating up on Houston in the fantasy playoffs.
I was literally going to ask you, what if I told you he played 17 games against the Texans? Where would his ADP be?
it would be a decently higher. But like up into that through week 11, I can't remember. I just gave this stat, but it was like through week 11, which was before the huge Houston game, he was like wide receiver 89 or something. At like Alan Lazard, who up to that point in the season had played 4 games, had more fantasy points total than T.Y. Hilton. Like it was really bad for Hilton, and it's getting smoothed out. The edges are getting smoothed out because of what happened at the end, where he put up at least like 3 good fantasy games. But I'm out on him. He's another year older, but he'll be maybe 32 if I remember that right off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. And the team drafted Michael Pittman to be the future of the position heading into year 2. Let's see if they actually put that into action.
Yeah, dude, Michael Pittman down the stretch, the playoff game against Buffalo, he looked really good. He was top 10 in yards after the catch per reception. Like that size speed combo, like we talked about the Colts, and I know Debo is really high on Paris Campbell. I'm pretty high on Michael Pittman. I think there's still a lot of potential left with Michael Pittman. I went Jamal Williams with my next pick at 10-10.
That's solid.
One of my favorite players in the league. Just So Mike, I don't know how you feel about Jamal Williams, but when everybody was like tilting their faces off about Jamal Williams getting touches and playing more than they want because of Aaron Jones, I loved it because I've always loved Jamal Williams. And even before this kind of talk about Anthony Lynn saying they want a hot hand approach at running back in Detroit, Jamal Williams was going to play. Anthony Lynn has always used multiple running backs. Jamal Williams is this is like my take, and it's been my take for years. Jamal Williams is a much better player than the fantasy community thinks he is. So at 10-10, yeah, give me Jamal Williams.
I'm in lockstep with you. I think Jamal Williams is a legit incredible back. I think he should be a number one running back. He was one of like last year, you know, halfway through, people start asking what contract players should I target? And Jamal Williams was one of my favorite pieces of advice to like, go get Jamal Williams there. He could end up in a great spot because he's going to leave the team. And he has the skill set to actually be a three down guy if somehow he ends up in Miami. You know, like if Miami had given him the contract, no one would have been surprised. And Jamal Williams would be a third or fourth round pick.
And I know he was in Green Bay, but every time he's been the starter, he's smashed in fantasy every time.
He's great. And he's a great dude, man. Watch some interviews with Jamal Williams.
Oh, my
Williams,
goodness. Dude, he's
you will.
I'm trying to get him on this podcast. Like, we talked about it the other day. If I could name 10 players in the NFL to get on this podcast, he would make that list without
question.
Well,
Mike, you had a chance to meet him. We were down in Dallas at Fantasy Conference way back in the day. Jamal Williams is just walking around, just chilling, man. Super nice guy. Love getting to talk to him.
I didn't run into him.
Oh, Rondale Moore went. Ah.
Oh, don't fall into that. That's a trap.
Oh, you're not in on Rondale?
I agree with Mike.
No, man, it's a trap. Cliff Kingsbury's a bad coach. It could work out. I can tell myself the story. I'm a diehard Arizona Cardinals fan, so I was super stoked with the draft pick. I think he's going to help the team. But for fantasy purposes, I lean on the side that it's not going to happen. He has to unseat somebody first of all, and so that's something he could do. I mean, he has the ability; he's great, but you still have to unseat a veteran. It's going to be AJ Green and Hopkins on the outside, so he has to take Kirk's job essentially. The way that I'm projecting it, and like you saw how poorly DeAndre Hopkins is mismanaged. Like Hopkins ended up great for fantasy. But if you go remember the actual game log, you're like, wow, that's a lot of duds there for a top five fantasy wide receiver. So I have such little faith that he's going to use Hopkins right and then figure out how to use Rondale Moore.
It was so insane to look at their usage and the alignment. Like basically Kingsbury was like, okay, you guys trot out there on the field. And it was like Kirk played 80% on one side of the field. Hopkins did on the other side. It's like, did somebody tell him in the rule book, like you can move wide receivers around, like that can happen, it's okay. Mike, you're on the clock. At least who are you
staring
at?
I had no idea.
I paused it for you.
No one.
I paused it for you. You're good.
Thank you. Okay. I was looking at Rondale, but DeAndre Hopkins. We had the joke on the footballers that he runs a route bush because Cliff Kingsbury doesn't know what to do. Like
I like that.
Look at his next gen. Go look at some of his next gen stuff, and there'll be entire games where it's just him running it out to the left, like five yards down the field. What are you doing? All right, I'll actually look at players to pick. Sorry.
While Mike's looking, breaking down the 10th round, Tyler Higbee, Aaron Rodgers. I take that was the back end. So Mike Gesicki, Cole Beasley, Terrace Marshall, Kenyon Drake, Zach Moss, Tony Pollard, Michael Pittman to Mike. Darrell Henderson, Devontae Parker, I take Jamal Williams. Rodgers goes 10-11, Higbee 10-12. Joe Burrow goes off the board at 11-1. That's pretty interesting because if he's good to go and that Bengals offense throws as much as they did last year, I mean, with that group of receivers, he has a legitimate massive ceiling. So 11-1, that's nice. Then Nyheim Hines, I go Darnell Mooney at 11-3. I'll talk about him in a little bit. Rondale Moore, T.Y. Hilton, right before Mike. So, Mike, you didn't have
I got it.
Sniped, obviously.
Yeah, so I couldn't stack my Colts. All right, I'm ready for my pick, and I'm gonna draft him, because we gotta have a conversation about this guy. All right, go ahead, unpause it. I can't draft until you.
Gotcha. Unpause this and bang.
All right, we're in the 11th round, so we're at the point of the draft where we're really trying to convince ourselves that some stories can happen. But, look, the Patriots immediately gave this guy money.
I like this pick. I like
immediately. This. Nelson Agholor was far better than you remember last year, especially for fantasy purposes. Everyone was out there wanting it to be Henry Ruggs. It was not. It was Nelson Agholor. And he, like, Bill Belichick desired him. And, like I said, we're trying to tell the story to ourselves at this point. Like, how long does it take Mac Jones to take over that job? Because it's Nelson Agholor is not very interesting if Cam Newton is running the offense. But Mac Jones could come in way sooner than we think. Mac Jones might start. Like, I think that's in the range of outcomes for Mac Jones up in the Patriots. Is he takes the starting job because Cam Newton he's a shell of himself at this point. So why not get Mac in there? And the reports from Mac have already been glowing. Like, I thought Mac Jones got a bad rap because he somehow got lumped in that he was going to be the third pick, even though that was preposterous that the San Francisco 49ers would trade everything for Mac Jones when they have Jimmy Garoppolo. It just didn't make sense. So then somehow it turned into kind of like people trashing Mac Jones, which is unnecessary because he's a good football player. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. So now you put Mac Jones in, the passing volume will go up. The accuracy of the passes will go up. And there's Nelson Agholor sitting there with his bag of money as the de facto number one target. I mean, you could say it's one of the tight ends that they signed, but I'm going to put the money on Nelson Agholor, even though I've never drafted him anywhere in any of these mocks I've done. I just thought this is an interesting point for him in the draft.
I like that pick. I really do. Because if you look at a lot of other metrics, like Nelson Agholor was quietly like really damn good last year. I mean, he was top 22 in yards per route run against like man coverage. He's going to be playing on the outside. I think he's a better wide receiver than what we're giving him credit for. So after you went with Agholor, Chuba Hubbard, Mecole Hardman, who I was kind of staring at, go off the board, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I went Denzel Mims. I'll talk about him here in a second. I like him, man. Like, I think that he could be the number one wide receiver for the Jets. I think that he was poorly typecast. They basically just said, go run 9 routes with 2 quarterbacks that can't throw deep at all last year in an Adam Gase offense. Jalen Reagor goes off the board. Kirk Cousins, John Brown, Alexander Mattison. I am going to select this guy. I'm going to say ADP be damned in the 12th round. I'm going to go with a guy that I've been extremely high on. Wrote him up for FTN Fantasy. I am going to go early with Anthony Firkser.
You're in
on it, Mike? Are you in? No. Are you in on Firk Daddy?
Oh, this is interesting then.
No, I am. I'm out. I mean,
please, look, yo, Derek, tell Mike where you have Firkser ranked. You have to now. You have to.
I got
to
hear it. Let
you
me
have
hear
to.
It.
All right, I've got Firkser in this, and I'll tell you why. I've got him at tight end 6 right now.
Holy balls.
Yes, I know, and that's usually the reaction I get, is everybody's like, ooh, my lord, why? It's because Tennessee has nobody to throw to. He legit could get 90-plus targets this year when he is on the field. The guy is playing wide receiver. Over his career, 84% of his snaps, either outside or in the slot. I think he's the answer for who the wide receiver 2 is in Tennessee. As nasty as that offense could possibly be this year. Mike, why do you hate Firk Daddy?
Well, that's a lot of snaps for someone who has done nothing. Like, if he's running all those routes and stuff, why isn't he putting up numbers? I absolutely see the path, for first or to become that guy, but it's like, it's a low passing volume offense to start. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jonnu Smith the last couple years has it didn't happen for Jonnu. If it was going to happen for a tight end, it seemed like it would have happened for Jonnu. I mean, maybe Firkser has something that I just haven't fully dug into yet. Because our editor, Kyle the Borg Ogan, who he's on our DFS show, he is fully in on Firk Daddy. And so you guys are skipping down the meadow hand in hand singing about Anthony Firkser. I'm just I don't see it, especially because we're going to trade for Julio Jones. So.
Oh, if they do that, then I'm going to be very, very sad with this pick.
I like Firkser too. Tennessee, 29, nearly 30% of their targets last year went to tight ends, and that was with Corey Davis. They don't have Arthur Smith anymore, but Downing is their offensive coordinator, was a tight ends coach as well, has been working with Arthur Smith. I don't think their offensive philosophy is going to change too much, but I definitely don't have him at tight end six. So I can't just sit here and throw Derek under the bus. Like, I don't like Firkser, but I definitely don't have him at tight end six. We'll talk about our picks here. Mike in the middle of the 12th round goes Russell Gage, which is an interesting guy to talk about here. Then I go Latavius Murray at 12-10. There was two running backs that should not have been on the board in the 12th round, and they both go off the board back-to-back, Devin Singletary and then Latavius Murray. I mean, 12-10 for Latavius Murray on a team where I didn't go running back for like six picks in a row. I was thrilled to get him there. But, Mike, talk about Russell Gage, because might be the wide receiver two or maybe wide receiver three if we're talking about Kyle Pitts very soon in Atlanta.
Right, and that's the projection, is just when Julio Jones is gone, Russell Gage will probably start moving up people's ADP here, but we saw him with a couple flashes. You know, he started the season out really hot, top 20 finish in those first 2 weeks. Three of the last four games, he was a top 16 wide receiver at worst. When he gets on the field, he produces because he's a fine player. But because Matt Ryan is a fantasy goldmine for wide receivers, he vomits yardage all just every year. You know that he's going to be among the league leader in yardage. The touchdowns, yes, they absolutely fluctuate. But Russell Gage, as the two on this team, can absolutely produce. And as much as I give Jason on the footballers, I give Jason crap all the time for it. He's the one who's like most hesitant on Kyle Pitts, and not even hesitant, just like trying to be realistic that it's a rookie tight end. Yes, he's a top five pick, but he's still a rookie, and he's still a rookie tight end. So let's hold on until he does something. And if that experiment doesn't go nearly as well as people are hoping for, then Russell Gage is going to be an absolute incredible value. We've seen years and years, like, you know, Roddy and Julio, same time, simultaneously great for fantasy. Julio and Calvin, both simultaneously great for fantasy. Why can't it be Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage?
I mean, I'm trusting the Gage pick. I'm trusting a little bit of Pitt's advice here. I mean, considering you're sharing an office with the Atlanta Falcons insider right now, we can talk about their passing attack. So, I mean, I could see it, man. Gage was good for us in DFS in multiple weeks last year. The volume, I think that Atlanta, Mike Davis is not a back where they're just going to sit here and do Derrick Henry-esque things. I understand the quad pictures are great and all, but Atlanta's going to throw the damn ball. So after you went with Russell Gage, Gabriel Davis, who I know Adam and I have talked about a lot, went off the board. Devin Singletary, Latavius Murray, Elijah Moore, Tariq Cohen, J.D. McKissick, Justin Fields was, I like this little quarterback run we got going here, Justin Fields. And now Trevor Lawrence.
That's not the pick.
There.
I got auto pick. That wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
I'm going to piss you off with this pick, D, bro.
Oh, you can have him. Go ahead. We're talking about loveless players. Talk about your guy.
It's a 13th round. Leave me alone. Kadarius Toney, I'm higher on a player than a lot of other people are. 13th round. Get off my back.
This is a Daniel Jones tweet. That's what I'm going to say. Good Lord, Kadarius Toney.
I'm not thrilled with the pick. Would have much rather
Mike,
had
Mike, do you love
Davis,
Kadarius
obviously.
Toney? Maybe we should get a different opinion in here.
All the metric markers are against Kadarius Toney. That doesn't mean he can't pan out and be fine. But I'm more with Adam of like it was the back of our second round in our rookie draft. And people are drafting, like, Michael Carter is way off the board, which I guess I would take Carter over him. But then, like,
right?
People are trying to trade up to draft Kenny Gainwell over a first-round wide receiver. And because the hate of Toney reached a proportion, I haven't felt this level of hate for a player who hasn't taken a snap in the NFL. I don't think ever in all of my time in fantasy football as an analyst. So it's wild what people
and
are doing.
This doesn't even rival the Henry Ruggs. Like, I mean,
right? Yeah, it's way worse.
It is. People are more like, ooh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Like, at least with Henry Ruggs, you had some stands and people out in the streets like, oh, no, he's good. He's fast. All this kind of stuff, like, fighting back. I think everybody's just got the pitchforks and they're lit right now for Kadarius Toney. So,
yes. Yes, the pitchforks are on fire. Flaming pitchfork. It's scary.
Gettleman better sit here and sit down in the bunker, man. So after Adam goes with his love for Kadarius Toney, Hunter Henry goes off the board. Gerald Everett, good sleeper pick there. Darrell Williams, Ramondre Stevenson, who I actually had queued up. Kenny Gainwell, and then Trevor Lawrence goes. I'm going to go with it. Look, if it's not Adam Troutman in this passing attack,
yes. Okay, I'm
going
there.
Traquan. Are you in on Traquan, Mike?
No, I'm in on Adam Troutman.
Yeah, I was about to say,
I love both. I really, really love both this year. Because one of these guys is going to emerge as the third option in this passing attack, regardless of the quarterback.
Do you want to put your bet on a second-year tight end who the team traded, like, every remaining pick that they had to move up and get him, who has, like, an absolutely unprecedented college dominator and looks great on limited snaps, graded out as Pro Football Focus number one run blocker as a rookie? Or do you want to put your bet on a wide receiver who played his entire career with a Hall of Fame quarterback and couldn't surpass 500 yards?
So my actual answer right now is I'm going to say
both of them.
I'm going to say both. Yeah, I went with both.
Covering your bases. Well done.
I went with both. I took door number C. I think that somebody is going to emerge in this passing attack. I wanted Mike to just lay it all out so I could sit there and be like, haha, actually, here's the option I'm going with. But no, Adam Troutman is immensely talented. I'm in on him. I was scooping him up in Dynasty Leagues months ago. Love the talent, love the player. And at the end of the draft, I mean, we're throwing darts here. So one of these darts I'm hoping to hit. So, let's get the combo here because somebody's going to emerge from this passing attack. After that, Gronk goes off the board, Rashad Penny. Dez Fitzpatrick goes off the board. That's a little bit surprising.
What are the rules here? Do I have to draft the defense?
No, you don't have to draft it.
You don't have to
draft defense or anything.
We're on full team, no kickers and defense. Never.
Oh. Okay.
And Mike, you're on the clock. Who are you staring at?
Oh, man. All right. I'm looking at a bunch of garbage is what I'm looking at over here. Oh, my gosh. This is tough in the streets.
Take a nice stab at the Texans backfield. Why don't you go ahead?
I know what I'm doing at the end of the draft, man. This is a move I like to go with. Look, I get the sage advice. It's fantastic. You do not draft two quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
When there is a quarterback that has top five upside in his range of outcomes as a rookie, you throw him on the back of the bench and you see what happens. So I took Trey Lance like that, the Lamar Josh Allen year. That was one of my favorite strategies was like, cause look, we can have hindsight. If, 2020 hindsight, if we want on what Lamar and Josh Allen did, but no one was projecting them to do what they did. They were, especially if you look at ADP, they were going at the end of drafts. So that year, my favorite thing to do was get the quarterback who I believed in. And then with my last positional pick, I'm taking Lamar. I'm taking Josh Allen. I'm throwing him on there and seeing what happens. And then Lamar turned into a fantasy MVP, and Josh Allen was pretty solid that year as well. I'm not talking about last year, Josh. I'm talking about 2 years ago. But when you have running quarterbacks, man, grab them and see what happens.
I love that, and we've seen what a running quarterback can do in the Shanahan offense. I mean, RG3 during his rookie season was a top five quarterback. Love that pick. Then we see Ty Johnson go off the board. Adam, you just made your pick, sir. Where did you go?
Oh, yeah.
I already have Waller, so I'm probably never going to start this player if this was a league, but second to last round, just take your guys, right? I wanted Irv Smith on my team. I don't love anybody else there, so yeah. I mean, I'm so high on Irv. I understand the Vikings defense could be better this year, which could lead to less passing attempts, but this guy was a tight end four down the stretch when Kyle Rudolph was out. That's the kind of upside he has.
He kept stealing all my Dalvin touchdowns. It was murdering me, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're a pro Irv podcast, so I love the pick Irv Smith. After that, Emmanuel Sanders, Deshaun Watson as a final pick of the draft. Then we're seeing a bunch of other players flying off here. Adam, you are back up on the clock. Where are you going?
Yeah, I don't know how to remove myself from auto pick, so it keeps auto picking for me. So I have to keep going back and changing.
You didn't want Robbie Gold?
No, not really. last pick of the draft here. I obviously you're just kind of hoping and praying one of these players pans out. I don't think the hype is really going to be there for him. I think it's kind of overblown, but I'm just going to take Malcolm Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Not the worst option at 15.
No, definitely not.
If it's not Gaskin, somebody's going to get the carries, and Miami showed us that, like, hey.
They like to give it to one guy, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So, Mike, you're going to be on the clock here in a second. Where you, at least who are you staring at? I know we talk about it's tough pickings here.
Yeah, no, but I've narrowed it down to two guys, both equally disgusting to draft for a fantasy football team. One, at least, if he hits, I think I know what I'm going with. So I was looking at wide receivers. Guys, the value of Breshad Perriman, I think, is undeniable at this point. Because we're talking about a team's number one wide receiver is available in the 15th round of a draft. And I'm not saying Perriman's going to be great or anything, but if he's going to have weeks, absolutely. But having said all that, I'll give you a little rope-a-dope there. Are you so sure that it will be Trey Sermon, or will it be Bruce Wayne Galvin?
Oh, I was looking at some San Francisco backs as well. I mean, Gallman was good for us last year as the Giants starting running back. The guy gobbled up volume. I mean, I don't hate that pick at all, because if it's not Sermon, he's got a really good chance. I mean, Mostert's already dealing with injuries right now. So if we're going to go last pick and upside, I don't hate it, Mike. I really don't.
Yeah, and last on the team, first under the waiver wire if he's not the starter. Yeah,
and what if, if Mostert does miss time like he's been doing the last couple of years and they're without Jeff Wilson for the first couple months or whatever, what if Wayne Gallman is Jeff Wilson in this offense, where he's like the backup, but he's getting goal line work, you know what I mean? So last pick of the draft in this running scheme that is right there with Baltimore as the most unstoppable in the NFL, why not?
I mean, really, you're just taking shots at this point in the draft. So, Adam, kind of before I get to my pick, I mean, there's a few guys I'm staring at here. Again, we're talking about last pick here. At this point, you're shooting darts on running backs, maybe some wide receivers, depending on who's falling. At this point in the draft, I'm going to go ahead. I mean, I talked about Rondell. If I'm going to go with an offense that's going to pass a ton, I know Mike is not in on Kingsbury. I'm not a huge fan of what the guy does, but I think Kyler's going to be really damn good this year. I'll take a ceiling game or two out of Kirk if I can get it. And if he goes to the waiver wire, so be it. Because this offense is going to throw
love
the ball.
Pick after yours.
Cole Kmet is interesting, but we're in interesting tight end season, yeah. Man. Like Cole Kmet, interesting. Troutman, interesting. Jarwin, interesting again. I mean, there's all these guys, and they're all going to be terrible. So we got to stop. We got to stop kidding ourselves.
Speaking of terrible, Evan Engram is the last pick of the draft.
Oh.
Look, and Evan Engram is he's just as good as those other guys, or has just a stronger
he's probably
chance.
More talented than any of those guys. Yeah.
he's talented, but, Jason Garrett's got you running curl routes and coordinating an offense. I mean, Adam, I don't know how much I want to besmirch Jason Garrett, because you did just lean into his creativity and pick Kadarius Toney. So, I mean, I guess we'll move on from that. But, Mike, take us through your team. How do you feel about it? What stands out to you?
Let's find out how I feel about it while I read it off for everybody. So I'm Travis Kelce at the 106. That was, I mean, that's risky business when you start with Travis Kelce. It usually feels much better when you're going into week one than it does when you're leaving the draft. And you're like, oh, look, I have Travis Kelce.
Especially after week one. I feel like he always goes for like 102. He does that like every week. But especially in week one, it's like, oh, yeah, I have Travis Kelce. I have a clear advantage over everybody else.
Yeah. So Travis Kelce, Joe Mixon, Robinson, and Galladay at wide receiver 1 and 2. Travis Etienne, Lamar, which that was a surprise to me that I was going to take a quarterback that early. But to have a team with Travis Kelce and Lamar, you're using a lot of your draft equity, but you're dominant at two positions. And the other players I have to fill in, I'm not mad about them. Then Devontae Smith, Curtis Samuel, probably my biggest reach of the draft, but I like Curtis. A.J. Dillon, Michael Pittman, Nelson Agholor, Russell Gage, Darrell Williams, Trey Lance, and Bruce Wayne Gallman.
I mean, the thing that I like about your team, Mike, is that when you get into these three wide receiver type of leagues, I think it's very viable to either go to get two wide receivers early, and then you're basically just rotating and streaming the third wide receiver position. Who's got the matchup? Who's got the upside? And you've got a lot of wide receivers, like from Devontae to Curtis to Pittman to Agholor have all shown ceiling. Russell Gage, if he gets the volume, to really just kind of parse through who's going to be the wide receiver 3-4 this week, if Galladay or Robinson are who we think they are. Adam, what you think about your team, buddy?
I like it, and I didn't go the same exact route as Mike, but I went tight end early as well, but I thought there was a value there. So the overall team, Russell Wilson at quarterback. Zeke was my first pick at the 103. He's my RB1, followed by Javonte Williams. So I went with a little bit of a different approach where I didn't go running back, for four picks in a row after taking Zeke. Calvin Ridley, Deontay Johnson, and Juju as my three receivers. Darren Waller at tight end. Melvin Gordon's my flex, but I have other options. And I thought, despite not going running back early, I did a great job, I thought, of finding some really good high upside and decent floor and just guys with pass to touches at running back on the bench. So Rashad Bateman, and then Jamal Williams, Latavius Murray, and Malcolm Brown on my bench at running back. And then Kadarius Toney, Irv Smith, and Darnell Mooney, who I didn't talk about. I took, I think, in the 11th round. Love this pick, man. Debro, you've been really talking me up on him. I was looking at his numbers. He had 23 deep targets last year. He caught 4 of them. That was not on Darnell Mooney. He was open at will last year.
Turn on the all 22, and then you get to see him dusting guys. Justin Fields, and then it's
Justin
bad.
Fields is going to be the quarterback for the Bears at some point this year, hopefully week one. He was an incredibly accurate quarterback. If you listen to this podcast, Debro and I are in love with Justin Fields. And Mooney's sliding in. There's no competition for targets in this offense outside of Allen Robinson's guaranteed 140. And he had, 98 last year? He's going to get, 110, and he's got the upside as a downfield passer. I love that pick in the 11th round. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with my team.
Yeah, I mean, I love Mooney, man. I think that Fields, especially, please let us get him as a starter in week one. Let's just not mess around here. We know what Andy Dalton is, and at this point, he's not even replacement level. We saw that in Dallas last year. My team, again, it's just loveless guys. Bunch of guys that I'm huge into this year. Jalen Hurts is my quarterback. The running back room is Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, Trey Sermon. I only went 3 running backs. Didn't realize that until just now.
That's why we practice.
I was like, oh, there was a bunch of guys late that I was like, okay, Michael Carter comes back. Okay, Ramondre Stevenson. A few sleeper running backs late that I'm like, okay, I like these guys. And then it goes poof, 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 poof. Too many listeners of the podcast in this draft. When you know that we're talking about Quadre Olison going as a 14th round pick, people have been tuning in because I've been talking about him way too damn much. But yes, my 3 running back build. Anyway, but wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Cooper Kupp, Chase Claypool, T. Higgins, Mike Williams, Terrace Marshall, Denzel Mims, Traquan Smith, and then again, stayed in New Orleans. Followed it up with Anthony Furser and Adam Troutman, and last pick of the draft, Christian Kirk. I mean, overall, I'm happy with this team. Would have liked to go back and take a 4th running back, now seeing that for the first time. But overall, I mean, I'm happy with the team. I think it's a lot of upside, a lot of young players. If Jalen Hurts is who I think he could be this year, yes, it's a huge risk drafting him in the 7th round, but at that point, you're playing the upside game. If he is that difference maker, then, I mean, shoot or shoot, man, so we got to take the shots. Before we get up out of here, Mike, again, take us through all the things going on with the fantasy footballers outside of all the rumors in Atlanta right now.
Sure. So you can follow me on socials at FFHitman. That's my Twitter and the Instagram. If you want some help learning about more research tools for your draft, you can check out the Ultimate Draft Kit, and that thing will be updated all the way through kickoff. And then, I mean, we are approaching the transition. July we go to 3 shows, and then August we're 5 shows a week. So if for whatever podcast needs you have for fantasy football, you know where to find us. Maybe you don't. Maybe the fantasyfootballers.com would be where you do that, though.
Great team, great podcast. Thanks again for stopping by, Mike. Adam and I are going to be back. We're going to conclude the NFC and wrap up all the division previews with the NFC South. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.